It's the 29th just of November. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Yesterday, it was just a sad day here in Australia. No NBA. But we have 10 games on the slate. Recording this one a bit early, obviously, but let's get into it. This is the Friday pre-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter at AdamKing91. Find me on Blue Sky at AdamKing91. We are on Twitter as well, at FBI Basketball. We're on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Please go and like, find, subscribe, rate, whatever else you can do, go and do that. We are also part of the Old Man Squad. Follow them at Old Man Squad or find Dan Bespris, and he can point you in the right direction. 10 games, so no games today. My time. Yeah, this is weird recording a pregame show now. It's 7 p.m. here, my time. But the games start very early tomorrow. So the first game, it's a midday Eastern tip-off in the States, which is 4 a.m. in the morning here. So I was not going to get up at 2 a.m. to record a pregame show, as you can appreciate. I hope you can appreciate it. So I thought I'd do one now. Obviously, we aren't as up to date with the injury news as we might be in a few hours, but this is the best time, in my opinion, for me. So I'm going to record it now. Let's get into the games. First one, as I said, very early start. Sort of a weird schedule tomorrow. We've got a game at 12, a game at 2:30, a game at 5, and then 7:30, and then they're sort of bunched in after that. So I don't know if this is a usual thing. Maybe I just don't pay attention to games after Thanksgiving, but it's good because it means if I get up at 4 o'clock, I can just watch one game and then one game and then one game. I don't have to flick. The first game is the New York Knicks and the Charlotte Hornets. For the Knicks, fairly clean injury report in terms of new injuries. There's nothing really to report. Again, with 10 games, streaming is going to be tough, a little bit easier than Wednesday when we had 14 games. So you might have one or two spots available. So we will talk a little bit about streamers. Miles McBride coming off a pretty poor game. I still think he is worth a look. And against this Hornets team, in theory, the Knicks could win this comfortably. And that could mean, if Tibbs is feeling generous, he might only play these starters 30 minutes, 31 minutes, which means we might get a little bit more of McBride and Campaign. For the Hornets, they are without LaMelo Ball, who's out with calf soreness. Calf soreness is what they're reporting it as. He apparently injured it in the last play of the game against Miami. Something to monitor. There's no word on this, but it does say that they're going to monitor it and report and provide updates, which, I don't know, to me that sounds like it might be more than a game, but we will see in good time. So with him out, with Trey Mann out with his back injury, it's probably time for Vasili Micic, I would imagine. And he has been very bad this year. No reason at all for him to be on a roster. But for tomorrow, he's really their only point guard. So I would consider picking him up for tomorrow if you need some assists. And then we're probably going to get a lot of Brandon Miller. Maybe Diabate has to score more than 2 points. Cody Martin probably plays a little bit more. So everyone sort of just shuffles up here. But Micic would be the guy I'd be looking at as the priority. There goes a door. Tijan Saloon has been okay. He was decent in that last game with such a weak roster here. Maybe you give him a look because Josh Green is not a high-volume scorer. Taj Gibson is not. Diabate is not. Cody Martin typically isn't. And Micić can be, but it could be that Salu sort of gets 15 to 20 points here. Cleveland then play Atlanta at 2:30, as I said. For Cleveland, also a relatively clean injury report, again, in terms of new injuries. Caris LeVert is questionable. He's been out for a few games with his knee injury. So if he comes back in, that probably cuts into Ty Jerome's minutes a little bit, but we're not really looking at anyone outside of the big four here, Garland, Mitchell, Mobley, and Allen. Okoro is starting, but doesn't need to be rostered. For Atlanta, Trae Young is probable again with his Achilles issue. He looked okay on Wednesday. He had that 20 and 22 double-double. So hopefully he's fine, good to go. And then all the injuries are just sort of fringy guys. They're pretty healthy other than that. So DeAndre Hunter, if you're looking for points, is someone to have a look at. Onyeka Okongwu outplayed Clint Capela in that last game. So we'll see whether that was just a case of he was playing better, we'll give him more minutes, or is this a trend? If it's a trend, then Okongwu probably moves back into rosterable territory. And Zachary Risacher, he was okay. I think he had like 17 points in 16 minutes or something. I'm not really that interested in him, especially against this Cavs team. No, thank you. The third game, the Pelicans travel to Memphis, and that is a 5 o'clock Eastern tip-off. The Pelicans coming off a very, very bad loss on Wednesday will be looking to bounce back. DeJounte Murray is not on the injury report. CJ is not on the injury report. Brandon Ingram and Trey Murphy are both questionable. Cake is ready. Which would push, obviously, Brandon Boston down, Jeremiah Robinson-Earl down, Javonte Green down. So this is one where doing a show this early, we don't know. If Ingram and Murphy are out, Boston probably gets another game of value, maybe Elfrid Payton to a lesser degree. But if they're healthy, then they're pretty much back to their starting lineup, other than obviously Herb Jones probably move in there, and Zion, if and when he ever comes back, would move in there as well. But as close as we've been thus far. For the Grizzlies, Ja Morant is probable with his knee injury. We know Edie is out. We know G.G. Jackson. We know Vince Williams. They're all out. But other than that, pretty good-looking Memphis roster here. Pelicans will, as I said, we will be looking to turn things around, but Memphis have been playing well. Desmond Bane has been down. Buy low opportunity on him at the moment. He will look to turn things around and get things going in a favourable matchup against this Pelicans team. With Morant healthy, with sort of Bane back, this is not a lot. Scottie Pippen will probably move back into 20 to 22 minutes, which is very borderline. I would only consider him if you need assists. Marcus Smart, who was very good in that last game, had 25 points, but is typically not an efficient shooter. So for me, still just a assists and steals streamer. Aldama, we'll probably keep rolling with him. He finds a way to put up value. But beyond that, I'm not really looking at anyone for streaming purposes. I have a question. I'll get to the question. Do they play tomorrow? It's a Bilal question. Washington, I don't think they do play, do they? No, they don't actually. So let's get to the question now. I will just double check that they don't play. Yeah, they don't. Okay. So question from Hini Mini. I know you talked about Bilal being a hold, but my week's matchup is closed. Would you drop Bilal for an extra game of Goga? And Bilal is your worst player. If you're in a standard league, I do think Bilal is sort of someone to hold, but I also think, I mean, Josh and I spoke about this on his mailbag show this morning. He is probably a hold, but it's not to the point where if you drop him, I think you're going to regret it. Like I do think opening up a streaming spot, at least one in a standard league, if not two, is a pretty good idea. If your settings allow for frequent adding and dropping and that sort of thing, I think two games of Goga, I mean, we aren't 100% sure on what his role is going to be, but it did sound promising. It sounded like he might continue to start alongside Wendell Carter. So, yeah, I think I'm okay. I think I'm okay with that. Do keep in mind, though, that Kuzma is out. Well, is he out? I don't know. He's probably out for their next game, which does give Bilal a little bit more responsibility. But again, I think I'm okay with dropping him for Goga there. Okay, where were we up to? Fourth game of the night, Orlando at Brooklyn. Orlando. So, yes, Goga, we pencil him in as the starter, we assume, until Paolo is back, and that is still a few weeks away. So we just roll with Badadze and see. And if it does get to a point where he's playing 17 minutes, we drop him. But if he's 22 to 25, he's probably a hold. Same goes for Jonathan Isaac. If he can maintain 22-plus minutes, he is someone to roster. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he was very good in that last game. Maybe you pick him up and get another good game, but I'd take the sample size of the other 15 games as opposed to one. And let's be honest, the last few years as opposed to one game. So not the top of my priority list, and neither is Anthony Black with Jalen Suggs supposedly healthy. We will keep an eye on that hamstring injury and see whether it flares up at any point, but at the moment he's not on the injury report. The Nets coming off a really good win on Wednesday. Ben Simmons was good in that game. He almost had, he was close to a triple-double. He's looking okay, probably should be rostered at the moment. We know that he's sitting back-to-backs and there's always the risk, but at the moment I think he's doing just enough. Cam Johnson is questionable with his ankle sprain. He played through it on Wednesday, so hopefully it didn't flare up. This is just a precautionary allocation here. Finney Smith, questionable with an ankle injury, and Nick Claxton, questionable with his back injury. The back thing, I think, is just going to linger for Claxton. I think we'll just see him miss games from time to time. And because of that, I'm uncertain whether he'll get to his ceiling this year. I'm not sure whether he gets to 28, 30 minutes at any point, because that would require playing 2 to 3 weeks of solid basketball. And I'm not sure that he will be able to do that if this back is a niggling kind of thing that hangs around. Jalen Wilson, who was a bit of a pickup, then missed that last game with calf tightness. Hopefully nothing too serious. He's questionable, which is a good sign. Both he and Zaire Williams are sort of players we want to consider here with Cam Thomas out for at least the next few weeks with his hamstring injury. Over to, what are you up to? Game 5, Clippers and Minnesota. The Clippers, Norm Powell is questionable to return from his hamstring injury. What's he been out? Maybe 2 weeks? Maybe it's 10 days? I don't know. Probably not long enough, but he is questionable. So if you've got him, keep an eye on the injury report there. Other than that, though, do we even count Kawhi anymore? I'm not sure. Kawhi is out. We'll just assume he is out for the foreseeable future. So we're looking at Chris Dunn if you need steals, Derek Jones if you need some steals and maybe blocks, rebounds. He does a little bit of everything from time to time. And who knows what version of Minnesota we're going to get here. We saw Edwards come out and sort of blast them, and hopefully that he was included in that blast. They haven't looked good as a team. Maybe that was sort of the kick in the bum they needed. Let's see how they look tomorrow. Jaden McDaniels, no thank you. Mike Conley, I've seen him dropped in a few leagues. I don't know. I'd give him a look, I think. I picked him up in a 16-team league. Definitely in 16s I would. 14s maybe, and 12s, it's close. I just think that if the Timberwolves hope to get back on track here, they're going to need Conley on the floor a little bit more. Not 35 minutes or anything like that, but closer to 30 than 25. So if they do figure that out and they decide to play him a bit more, I think he can start to put up back-end value again. And DiVincenzo, he's been rubbish. Hopefully this kick in the bum will turn him around as well. Boston head to Chicago for the next game for the Celtics. Porzingis not on the injury report. That's a very good sign. They are running. This is the starting five that they won the championship with. No reason to look at any fantasy value here, really. We know we roster them. Pritchard is still must roster. It's very close. But with Horford there, with Porzingis there, guys like Kader, Cornet, they really don't have any chance of putting up sustainable value here, let's say that. And for the Bulls, Patrick Williams remains out with his foot thing. Lonzo Ball is probable with a wrist. We know he played in the last game, so hopefully this is just a precautionary thing. Matas Buzelis, who we thought was going to play more minutes, hasn't really, so I'm not interested in him. And Dosunmu, very borderline, we know. 30 minutes is about enough, but he was good in the last game. He was poor in the game before that, so I don't know. Roll a dice, hope that it lands on Io Dosunmu for tomorrow. Toronto head to Miami for the Raptors. They are still without Grady Dick, Emmanuel Quickley, Kelly Olynyk, Bruce Brown. Some of them are getting closer, though. I do think Olynyk is pretty close. Quickley's still a couple of weeks away, I think, 2 to 3. And we're not sure on Grady Dick. We don't really have a timeline for him. But in the meantime, Agbaji, who was a drop, and I still think he probably is, but he had 24 points, but it was on very efficient shooting. So I'm not really prioritising him tomorrow. If you've got him on your team still, because I do. I just hadn't dropped him, and he was good for me on Wednesday. So I'll roll him out there tomorrow and see how we go. Jacoby Walter was good, I think, in that last game. I think it was Walter who was good. But again, not really that interested in him. With Scotty Barnes there, RJ Barrett, Jakob Poeltl. Not a ton of fringe value. For the Heat, a lot of probables, a lot of ins, Terry Rozier, Jimmy Butler, Duncan Robinson, all probable. Hayward Highsmith has a dislocated finger, but he will play. We don't want Highsmith. Duncan Robinson's been good. He had 21 or 22 or something in the last game. He's been starting. So I think if you need threes, this is exactly who he's been for the last few years. Stream him in. Hopefully you get lucky with him. Rozier, probably still a rosterable guy, but it's very borderline. He was pretty good in the game that he came back, but then the second game he wasn't. So we probably hold him, give him a few games and see what he's been doing there. But with all of those guys probable, Pel Larson, Jaime Jaquez, Alec Burks, no thanks, nothing there for me. Detroit face Indiana for the Pistons. Cade Cunningham upgraded to questionable. So he was doubtful for the last couple of games. So this is a positive. He won't necessarily play, but it does mean he's getting close. Tobias Harris also questionable. He missed the last game with a hip injury. If Cunningham misses, which I'm really torn. I'm really 50-50 on this one. If he misses time, we get the guys we've been getting. We get some more Marcus Sasser. We get Jaden Ivey handling the ball a lot more, Malik Beasley. I wouldn't be adding any of those guys. Beasley is still a pretty good three-point streamer. Ivey should be rostered anyway. If Tobias Harris misses, Asar Thompson will presumably start again, which... I think Asar needs 25 minutes to be valuable. I still would hold him if you can, because I'd like to see what he looks like when healthy, when playing his whatever his role is going to be, and then make the decision if you can. What this does mean, though, is that they are firmly of the belief now that Isaiah Stewart is not a stretch four, so he's not playing the four at all. He's purely a backup center behind Jalen Duren. I think both of them are worth rostering at the moment. The minutes have been up and down a little bit. Stewart was really bad in that last game, but I'd give him one more just to see. If he can turn that around. For the Pacers, we've got Quentin Jackson still in the starting lineup with Neesmith, Shepherd and Nembhard all out. Quentin Jackson is not someone I'm looking at. He put up okay numbers in that last game, but prior to that, he'd been pretty ordinary. Halliburton, this is also a home game for the Pacers. So based on what we've seen, Halliburton should be in for a big one tomorrow. And against a Pistons team that may not have Cade Cunningham, it could be a good Halliburton game tomorrow. TJ McConnell, yeah, I think he's still okay to roster his minutes. He was down at about 15 in that last one, but this could be a game where we see 20 of TJ. Let's cross our fingers. Sacramento head to Portland for the second last or the penultimate game of the night. For the Sacramento Kings, DeMar DeRozan is I think I read that he's questionable. Oh, no, he's still out. Okay. I don't know why I thought he was questionable. So he is still out with his back issue, which means we will probably get Jay Crowder again, I assume. No, we aren't looking at Jay Crowder. Malik Monk, yes, he was good. Kevin Huerter seems to have just fallen out of favour here for whatever reason, so we can move on from him. And Keon Ellis, look, if he's starting and you need some steals, fine, give him a look. For the Blazers, Jeremy Grant is doubtful. Welcome to March or April already for Jeremy Grant. Robert Williams is doubtful with his concussion. Donovan Klingon is out, so it's going to be a lot of DeAndre Ayton. We didn't get any Duop Reith in that last game, and chances are we may not in this game either. I would assume, I don't know. It's going to depend on what the Kings do here in terms of rotations, but we might just see more Jabari Walker as we did in that last game. Denny Avdija, I've had a few questions about him. I think we need to add him. He's playing big minutes. We know in big minutes he needs to be rostered, so just add him and see how long this lasts. Tamani Kamara, likewise, I think he's still playing enough to be rostered. It's not very exciting at all. And Scoot Henderson was good in that last game. He had 17-9 or something. In theory, this is why we drafted him to start the season, because we thought he'd get points, we thought he'd get assists, and he just hasn't been playing. So maybe this is the little bump that he needs with some of these injuries. And the final game of the night, the Thunder head to Los Angeles to play the Lakers. For the Thunder, Jalen Williams is off the injury report. So very good news there if you have Jalen Williams. He obviously left the last game after about 16 minutes, I believe, with an eye injury, but nothing too serious. I had proposed that this would be similar to the Anthony Davis eye injury that he suffered earlier in the season, where initially it was, whack in the face, in the eye, bit of blurred vision, can't come back, but he was okay for the next game, and that appears to be the case here. So very good news if you have Jalen Williams on your roster. Isaiah Joe, we don't know who will start. It could be Isaiah Joe, could be Cason Wallace, could be Aaron Wiggins. We just don't know, which makes streaming those guys very hard. I wouldn't even Dort. He was must roster there, but he's Lou Dort is Lou Dort. We know who he is, so I'm okay to drop him and stream that spot. And for the Lakers, we'll see if they roll out this same starting lineup of Dalton Connect and Rui Hachimura next to each other. Both were pretty good in the last game. I still prefer Connect. Connect is probable. He is on the injury report with a quad issue, but I would think he plays. Much like Anthony Davis, who he's probable every game, so we'll just assume. And big news, Bronny James is out. Huge fantasy implications there. Hachimura, borderline Connect, probably. D'Angelo Russell, he's been better the last two games. We know his ceiling is high enough that he should be rostered, so I would probably be trying to hold him if you can. In the hope that he turns this around at some point. All right, well, that will do for the pregame show. As I said, a little bit early, but no way I'm getting up at that time to do it, and it would wake my family up, and that would be rude. I will be back tomorrow with a post-game show following all of the games. Let me just, what time's the last game? 10 o'clock Eastern, so probably around 10 p.m. Eastern is when I will, that's wrong, isn't it? Yeah, it's not 10 p.m. Eastern. No, probably about 10 p.m. Pacific time is when I will be doing my show tomorrow. Get all my time zones mixed up. But yes, I will be back, and then we'll just be back in our normal routine then. It will get a little bit weird in a couple of weeks when we get the in-season tournament finals and things like that. There'll be some low-volume days and all sorts of things. For now, back to normal. That will do for today's show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep pre-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.